This is Rod Peterson on demand. Now,
how did this fly get in here?
Somebody got a fly swatter?
Yeehaw!
It was a shot of Prairie Jesus is really what it was.
It was.
You'd think we would be getting used to it, but it would. We never get used to it. We never get tired of good things happening.
Life doesn't get old.
No. It was a nice little distraction from the real world, and here we are today for a coffee session.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Oh, could I use a distraction from the real world? Welcome to the RP Show, everybody. Don't mind me. I'm just sharing the show to my Facebook friends. And I assume you did the same.
I'm on it.
Happy Monday, everybody.
Is it ever?
Yes, it is.
Let's go.
Things were a little topsy-turvy in our world. Time change over the weekend, of course. My phone is blowing up. I don't understand. I've lived in Saskatchewan all but 1 hour of my life. So the time change thing has never really affected me, right? Careful with your poppy. You're about to rip it off with your ear cord there. There you go.
Thank you.
My phone's blowing up with people in Alberta about the time change. And where's your show? And it's on earlier. I missed an hour. I don't know. Things have changed a lot here in that, if you read my 10 things column on Saturday at rodpeterson.com, I said nothing will change on Game Plus TV, but that's not correct. Saskies have to wait now until 11 o'clock Sask time for the show.
That's right.
Because we found out just last week from Lynch that all the little old ladies that, you know, he's driving them wild because Game Plus is on in most seniors' homes here in southern Saskatchewan. At 10 o'clock, Lynch is very popular. Now they have to wait until 11 o'clock, right?
And yes.
But at least we're still on. They need to wait an hour. But as you pointed out, anybody, Ontario, you know, eastern Canada, western Canada, outside Saskatchewan, it's the same time. Even I'm having a tough time computing with that.
I know, right? It's so different, but that's what we have to think about, right? When it comes to the time zones, we've actually changed the start time of our show for the rest of the country. Unfortunately, that's the one thing that's good about being in Saskatchewan is they don't have to change when we're on.
And Arizona.
And Arizona.
Yeah. So, and I see that Facebook issue is still an issue in that I can't see who's writing in with the comments. I can see the comments. I can't see who you are writing. So if you'll please write your name with it, I think we'll all be hunky-dory and we're ready to start a brand new week because there's a ton of comments coming in here. One says, you're not on Game Plus TV yet. They must be doing the second hour then. Yeehaw! Yes, they are. 11 a.m. They're carrying hour two now. So it's kind of changed up a little of how we do things. It's changed a little bit up of how Clark's going to book guests, but we'll figure it out. It'll take one day.
Yeah.
When we went to national television on July 2nd, it took us one day to adjust, and away we go. Okay, so here we are. Jordan, quick six show topics, please. And I should mention that our guests today are the esteemed Rob Vanstone, Hall of Fame writer from Post Media, Alan Miller, the general manager of the Moose Jaw Warriors, and Three Down Nation's Justin Dunk to talk about all the latest in those leagues. Commissioner Randy Ambrosi, whom we said last week would be on today, will be on tomorrow. So I'm just glad he'll be on at all. So let's go. Week one, or point one, week eight, NFL notes. It was a sucky Sunday, if I may. Not to mention, I spent the weekend doing home renos. You've seen all the various rashes and raspberries and cuts. So I was doing home rentals while watching NFL yesterday, and I said to my wife, you know, I can do this. I just don't want to do this. Is that fair? It's not like I'm completely a noob.
But every once in a while, you have to get up on the ladder. You gotta strap up with the tool belt and prove it. Right? You got to go out and prove it. Then you can put your feet up, right? Because they forget that you can actually get the job done.
That's a point. I fell off a ladder. Thank God she wasn't home for that. Fell off a ladder, cut my hands all up. I can do it. I would just rather not. So thinking about week eight in the NFL, that's what came to mind to me. But my good friend Luke Mullender pointing out yesterday, 9-year CFLer, writer, radio color man, said, it's so great that the Cowboys are playing in prime time because us Cowboy fans will only be ticked off for the evening now, not the whole day. Cowboys lost, Titans lost, Packers lost. Now, I get that the fans of the teams that beat them are exciting, but for our teams, it wasn't a great day.
No, it wasn't. And, you know, I tweeted this because I've started putting together my top five in terms of like an NFL power rankings, because I've been watching a lot, and probably not going to change a whole lot because all the teams outside of Pittsburgh lost.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Kansas City's still doing Kansas City things, and Tampa Bay's got to play tonight, but man, it was not a good Sunday for the top teams.
No. And I will sprinkle in comments today from our viewers. For instance, Rod, did you hear what Doug Ford said about the OHL? He wants body checking. Just settle down, put your feet up, have a sip of coffee. We're getting to it. We will get to it. Let us do the talking. Point two, the Rider alumni game, as I like to call it, yesterday. You saw that I broke the news on Friday that Derek Moncrief was going to make his NFL debut.
Yep.
For the LA Rams against Sam McGovern's Miami Dolphins. I watched the whole game. I didn't notice either guy at all. Not one time. I'm slowing it down, pausing it. I didn't see 47. I didn't see 49. Whatever. It ended up Rams, they're awful. It was their worst game of the year.
Yeah.
They lost 28-17. Good for Tua. I was wishing that I was there. It's at, what do they call that? Whatever they call that stadium now. Sun Life Stadium now? Is that what it is now? The old Joe Robbie, the old pro player. Looks great. It's a wonderful stadium, and I know you can't wait to go there.
I know.
They were like, it's so hot down here. I'm point three, big game tonight. Tampa Bay at the New York Giants. Very big game tonight. Tampa going on the road. So they're my unofficial team now for a while anyways. I still watch the Cowboys. Like, we got home last night, and my wife's like, what are we going to watch? I said, America's team. Of course, we're watching it.
Oh, yeah.
I said, let me just watch the end of this drive. I knew they're not going to win. There's a very good chance they will not win another game this year. You heard it here first a couple of weeks ago. So we did end up watching Netflix. A new show, by the way, Subura.
Oh.
Have you heard of it?
No.
It's very, very good. Based in Rome, Italy.
Ooh. We've been really hooked on Goliath on Amazon Prime.
I don't have Amazon Prime.
Very, very good. Almost through season one. But you're right. You're a fan of the Cowboys.
And yeah, so I watch
them. No matter
if
the season's over, you're still watching.
I just know they're going to lose.
Yeah.
So it's not how much we're going to win by anymore. It's how much we're going to lose by. Bo says, good morning from everyone in Saskatoon. Good morning. I see Tom in Winnipeg writing in, and it slipped off the screen. Dougal in Calgary. In Alberta, you now start at 9 a.m., not 10 a.m., just so you know. Hey, you're welcome. Anonymous writer, you got to write your names. Oh, yeah, Donna says it's going to be a great week. Nice weather here. Hence why I'm wearing shorts. Oh, I love it. 18 tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the one that we're waiting for, point four. Jeff Knox Jr. charged with multiple offenses in Pittsburgh, including double homicide. No joke. No small thing. I made my thoughts clear yesterday. I tweeted it. I said, it must be a misunderstanding, I'm sure. And, of course, the people went bonkers on that, which I can handle. Here's the thing. I haven't changed any of what my thoughts are of what I put on Twitter. I just took them down so as to stop being a pinata for everybody. There are some people that if I've heard that they're charged with double homicide, I'll be like, yep, that's on character. Jeff Knox is not one of those. I've known Jeff Knox a long time. I know him very well. I've kept in touch with him since he left the Saskatchewan Roughriders, went to the NFL, then back to Toronto. I know his family. I know his mom. I know everything about Jeff's life. It was a real interesting case study in how people pop off on social media not knowing all the facts or what they know. That's what Sunday was for me, a case study in that. People are like, oh, but he hit a pregnant woman. Was proven to be falsely accused of that. Were you aware of that? Jeff, you don't think all the scouts didn't go through all of that? And as Jeff told me, he was falsely accused. Bobby Dice was part of that whole thing when he was coaching the Rough Riders in 2015. It satisfied Bob. It satisfied me. Jeff explained the whole thing to my face, including the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Argos. And I think he came back to the Rough Riders once, too. Did he not? After that, But people don't, they just see that because it's in black and white on the internet. They believe it, and all of a sudden, I'm a horrible person because I'm supporting a guy that I know very well and you've never met. So while I didn't speak to Jeff on Sunday, I spoke to his camp, if you will, a couple of them actually, and said, here's what happened. Here's Jeff's take. Here's why Jeff feels that he'll be okay in all of this. And some were saying, I hope you're not believing all the horrible things that are being said about Jeff. I'm like, no, because I know they're wrong. I think that's why the Toronto Argonauts put out a statement, which I should have in front of me and read it verbatim, but I don't, that they take these charges seriously, this situation seriously, but they didn't outright cut him. And you saw people, the mentions, you know, the social media term for this, at the Arc, cut him. I see people calling him a piece of trash, comparing him to other guys that probably are pieces of trash. Jeff is not those things. You don't know what you're talking about. The Argos at least know him to the degree that we're going to support Jeff just like I am, because I know him personally. And you people that came after me and are going after Jeff don't know what you're talking about at all. But I've realized, again, a case study in that you don't need a license, pass an IQ test to have a Twitter account or Facebook account. That's very, it just keeps being reminded to me every day. So that's my take on the Jeff Knox thing. Did I cover it okay?
Yeah, it's hard not to get sucked into it, though, on social media. It's really difficult because you got, you know, a lot of people who just kind of flip with the wind like you're the pinata thing outside a used car lot, right?
Yeah.
But look, at, you know, when it comes to how we operate or how I operate, I kind of live by the philosophy, trust is not earned. Trust is given.
Yeah.
And everybody's, you know, unfortunately, people have been hurt. People have been, you know, gone through things. And they come at life with this, trust must be earned. So any new relationship or any new story somebody enters, you're already starting off down a touchdown. You're already starting off behind.
Yep.
And I believe, no, trust should be given. And no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what's happened previously, you've got my trust. Until you break it. So I know for you that, you know, when somebody's on your team or you're on the team, you're on the team, right?
I'm not changing teams.
No. So, of course, the first reaction is going to be, hey, I got my guy. I got his back. You know, I want to hear both sides of the story. Doesn't mean the story can't evolve. And if he did some horrible things that we don't believe that he should, you know, have the consequences. But, I mean, you just have to start from a place of understanding and trust and stick up for your guys.
Well, it's nice to know that you'll always got somebody in your corner. And the thing with me is I said, hey, it's a misunderstanding, I'm sure, and there's two sides to every story. And that mutual friend of ours with Jeff texted me, and he goes, well, I got the story. Do you want it? And I'm like, I'd rather not know. Sometimes it's best if I don't know. I just trust Jeff. And then I'm like, curiosity killed the cat. And I called the guy. I'm like, what happened? Here's what happened.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, now I feel even more in Jeff's corner based on what I'm told. So one side of the story's been reported so far. That's why we have a justice system in the world and in America, and I think we're done on that.
Yeah.
2.5, it is our poll question today. And this was a fun one, and we threw it out just before we went to air. And that is, where is it? Who should coach the Seattle Kraken? You're saying, why would you ask that today? Well, The Athletic wrote a column on it on Sunday, and they quoted the general manager in Seattle. Whoa, look at that. They put it up already. Whopping disparity between Facebook and Twitter, by the way. The Twitter responded saying, Babs, Mike Babcock. Facebook saying Mike Babcock, Twitter saying Gerard Gallant. They put it up already. So Gerard Gallant, Mike Babcock, Tim Hunter, or other slash who? So anyways, Ron Francis, the general manager, was quoted at The Athletic on Sunday as saying, we're in no rush to name our head coach. He said, we don't play even for another season. Maybe there's some other guys that'll become available, which he's right. Ron Francis is not a dumb guy. Not shocking.
Correct.
Right. Gerard Gallant was literally the only guy I could come up with. Clark came up with Babs. Yeah. And I'm like, how did I not think of that? Good one, Clark. Bravo. Who said Tim Hunter? Was that Clark too?
He's nailing it today.
Yeah, Clark goes, me also. Well, who else do you think it should be, Clark? John Paddock? Gord Randall out in Vancouver writes in and says Manny Malhotra.
That was good. Great answer, because I was thinking about who are the young guys, the guys who are assistant coaches, the next up-and-coming promising head coach that deserves a shot. Manny Malhotra is definitely one of them. He's being touted as one of the next, you know, bright young coaches in the NHL. But I'd have to go with Gallant, too. Whoa, big sneeze.
I got those, too.
Whoa, excuse me.
I've been having sneezing like crazy.
But Gallant, he's proven it with the expansion, right? What he did in Vegas. How you can take a group, because you're not going to have a flashy group, but you can take that group, install culture, and, you know, do some great things. He's already done it. And I don't think anybody else has that on the resume that Gallant does.
To the comments from Brett Thompson, trust is default, but trust can be lost and is then hard to regain. Janelle says, I'm on your team and in your corner, Rod and Darren. That's from Janelle. You made a good point before we went to air, and I want to bring that up about my support of Jeff or anybody's being an unconditional backer of someone. Like you said, but if you screwed up, it's still on you. You know what I mean? Like, it's if it's found to be that Jeff is guilty and I was misled, yeah, I'm not going to be on Team Jeff. But right now, based on what I know, I'm on Team Jeff Knox.
But you still
have no reason not to be.
Right.
But you still make choices.
But you still feel pretty good that your instinct was to back your guy.
Immediately.
Not jump off the boat at the first sign of a splash on the deck. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you're my guy. I've got the guys, I'm on your team until we get far enough down the rabbit hole that we learn more information and realize, look, you've done some bad things. Now you got to go and pay for those things. But guess what? You were my guy before, and that's not changing just because of a news headline.
Yeah. There's some guys that I wouldn't throw water on if they were on fire. If they were charged with double homicide, I wouldn't miss a beat. I wouldn't miss a second sleep. Jeff Knox is not one of those guys. And I know him personally. I've known him a long time. Brett T. says, Lorne Mulliken. We're getting some good ones.
Oh, yeah.
Some write-in ballots for who should coach the Seattle Kraken. I'll hurry it up here. We might have to move our face-off to next segment. But point six, the SJHL is moving ahead with the 150 cap. That's why it's very important to trust your news sources. We learned last night that the SJHL told all its teams that we are going to start Friday night regular season, but the cap is 150. I, in turn, tweeted that. Some lady wrote me and said on Twitter and said, isn't that always been the case? And I said, no, they were hoping the cap would be increased. And there was a silent protest, almost, if you will, that we're not playing unless it's increased. And the government, from what I can tell, was like, nuh-uh. It's 150 or nothing. They didn't have a choice, so they're playing. So that's the news there. We can kick that around, and Rob Vanstone will be with us a little later on as well. He can talk about that, too. But everybody wants to talk about the OHL body checking. I've said it many times. I'll say it again. There's barely any body checking in major junior hockey anyways. Trust me, there isn't. They've been wanting to take out the physical component for years. Now's their chance. John Scott made a great Twitter video on that on the weekend. This is the perfect opportunity for the sissification of hockey. That's from John Scott. And I'll decide down the line whether I want to continue going to watch major junior hockey or not. Because right now, I only go for the donuts and to visit with the NHL scouts and be with my friends. I don't go to be entertained by major junior hockey anymore. That's the truth. But there are some sports that aren't afraid of the rough stuff. It's called the National Lacrosse League, where they're kicking the crap out of each other every night. And UFC, because human nature hasn't changed. There's still aggression. Kids still need to take their aggression up. So maybe they don't play hockey anymore. Maybe they play football. Maybe they play lacrosse. But if this is the way that junior hockey wanted to go anyways, I say let's play if that's what it's going to take. That's my take. What's yours?
Yeah, it's pretty similar. I mean, everybody once again, they want to jump to being upset because things aren't the way that they used to be. And taking a body checking, they just assume that the game is going to completely change. Well, body contact has always been a thing in hockey, and that's not going away. And if you think that the game won't be physical, go watch a women's game, which I've watched a lot of and quite enjoy. It is very physical hockey. Very physical. And they are tough as nails when they play. And I've watched a lot of hockey games. You know, over 100 games a year. And the game doesn't have big open ice checks anymore.
It doesn't. It
doesn't exist. And all the stuff against the boards and all the bumping and grinding and all of the real physical play, that's circled under body contact. That's going to be allowed. So just because they're eliminating body checking, it sounds like this big grandiose thing. It's not going to change the game all that much. And the game will still be very physical. So everybody just needs to not overreact the way that I've seen just about everybody overreact on social media.
So we got a break, but coming back, I'd like to open up the text line for Perry Mobile, 306-840-8777, 840-8777. Perry Mobile is your authorized SaskTel Mobility dealer. And I'd like your take on all of what we talked about, but also body checking and hockey. That's the face-off. As we said in the morning meeting, it doesn't necessarily need to be a fight.
No.
For the Mad Greek in Moose Jaw, visit the Mad Greek for the best authentic Greek cuisine. Available for licensed dining, takeout, or delivery. Head to themadgreekeatery.com for more information. And for Ultimate Fan Zone, home of the home teams, jerseys, caps, and team apparel. They are your official licensed fan store in Moose Jaw, built by fans for the sports fans in southern Saskatchewan. My wife said on Saturday, if you had $10,000, you could spend it wherever you want, where would you go? I said, Ultimate Fan Zone. Boom. Done. And that's the truth.
Wow.
RV, get ready. We've got a lot of topics to get to when we come back with Robert Vanstone. This has been the warm-up. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Thanks for joining us as we kick off a brand new week. Again, Prairie Mobile text line open 306-840-8777. 840-8777. GM of the Moose Jaw Warriors coming up, Al Miller, and 3downnation.com's Justin Dunk. But let's go out on video chat this morning and join the Jenny Craig of sports journalism, the Richard Simmons of the newspaper industry, the esteemed Robert Vanstone. How are you doing, RV?
Not bad, Rod. How are you doing? Hi, Darren.
Hey.
How many pounds you down, sir?
As of Friday, 92.6.
Wow.
Down to 170. So.
You're half the man you used to be, or a third.
Yeah, 35, 34% is gone. So a few people I've talked to are advocating the disappearance of the remaining 66%. So keep your hopes up, people. It may happen.
I know a few coaches that would be part of that group, potentially. RV... to get and congratulations, by the way. I wish I could do the same. We're all starting the same journey today.
We're trying, Rob. I have taken out the mini chocolate bars. We got a fruit bowl on the table. We got veggies in the fridge.
You're welcome anytime.
Yeah.
So, Rob, where do you want to? Can we start with the body checking in major junior hockey?
Yeah, sure.
What the OHL is going to do and the return of the dub? Where are you on all of that?
Sort of all over the place with regard to body checking. On the surface, and I think you alluded to it in the earlier segment, on the surface, it sounds like, you know, pizza without crust or hot dogs without buns. But I've also been one who for a long time has been railing about the I think, robotic nature of hockey. And I think the fact that the skill sometimes is superseded by the systems. And I wonder if a reduction in body contact without a total elimination of it might allow some of the finer elements of the game to be emphasized and might in some ways lead to a better game. Once upon a time, I mean, I'm old enough to remember the Philadelphia Flyers days and that style of hockey, or the Big Bad Bruins of the 70s. At one time it was unthinkable to even talk about a lack of body checking, but I think the fact that it's even being advanced now is maybe an indication that the game is prepared to grow beyond that and perhaps emphasize stick handling and something other than getting pucks deep all the time.
Yeah, fair. But like I say, there's still going to be a faction of society that has bloodlust. And I think if they continue to go down this road of making it a youth sports hockey game, you mentioned women, I'll mention the men, there's no hitting in that. And it is good. It's a track race up and down. I like the physical nature in the fights. The SJHL, to a certain degree, still has that. So I guess it's going to come down to the ticket-buying public, Rob. I mean, the entertainment value, Ron Robison has said many times, we're about developmental, we're developmental, we're developmental. And I'm like, well, what ever happened to winning and hitting? And that doesn't seem to be as important anymore. Have I misread that?
I think one thing that is overlooked sometimes is that they're in the entertainment business. And if you look at the National Football League, and what are people talking about? Patrick Mahomes threw 5 touchdown passes yesterday, et cetera, et cetera. Russell Wilson might be taking a run at Peyton Manning's record of 55 touchdown passes in a season, I tell you, as I'm wearing a Peyton Manning t-shirt so dapperly. NBA, you know, you see Jamal Murray going off for back-to-back 50-point games. You see the statistical milestones that I think are still prevalent in a lot of sports that are pretty wide open. And yet with hockey, it's so rare to see a 50-goal scorer now or a 100-point scorer. And and I don't know. I'm a stats nerd, so I'm probably the wrong person to talk to. But if there's something that can be done with hockey that can make it possible for someone to even approach, get within the same postal code or zip code as Wayne Gretzky's numbers, I'm not sure that's a bad thing.
Okay, so hang on. From our viewers, this has to be from Drew Koser from the Off the Hosel podcast. It says, morning, boys. The Pilot Butte Storm open up their season this weekend home and home with the Fort. I'm putting that out there, RV. From Nelson, our VP of CFL Sim. He says, instead of pizza for the next Sim night, are we getting chopped leaf? Possibly.
Possibly.
From Jeff, Paul Kariya would still be playing if there was no hitting. And that's fair, but I like the Derek Bougards of the game and the Kyle Fredericks too, and there's no place for those guys anymore. So we can sit and go around on this all day. And by the way, if we're just going to develop skill, why are there no 50-goal scorers anymore? Why is that? Why was there 5 on a team in the 80s and it was goon hockey in the 70s, but there isn't now? Can anybody tell me that?
It's the most overcoached sport like I see. If you look at the early 1990s, you were still getting roughly a dozen 50-goal scorers a year. And by the end of the 90s, by which point the New Jersey Devils had won a Stanley Cup playing very conservative, boring, trap-oriented hockey, suddenly it was rare to see a 50-goal scorer. One year, the Rocket Richard Trophy was awarded to a 41-goal scorer. So, yeah, a lot of people say players got bigger and faster and they outgrew the ice surface, et cetera, et cetera. But it happened so quickly. It wasn't really an evolution. It was almost like flipping blinds. And suddenly you went from 92, 93, where you have all these 50-goal scorers, to the end of the 90s, where they're very rare. And that's just overcoaching. And so I still think the game has the capacity to be wide open. I just wonder if there's the will.
From a viewer, please write your name, folks, if you will, please, because I can't see who they're coming in from. Writer says, quarterback stats are ridiculous because the league protects them way too much. But I don't have a problem with that because the quarterbacks sell tickets. So again, we could go on this around and around and around all day, but quarterbacks are hard to find. I believe they do need to be protected. And let's switch to football. RV, NFL in a moment. There's a column up at rodpeterson.com right now about it being a tough week for the CFL. The Jeff Knox charges, the passing of David Braley. Can't remember the third thing. I don't think they've had a good week for a long time. But at least we heard from the commissioner. What's your take on the last 7 days?
Very sad news about Joey Moss, too.
Joey Moss, right. Right. So what's your take on the last 7 days in the CFL?
David Braley, would there be a Canadian Football League without him? I mean, well, he owned 1.1/3 of the existing franchises in the Canadian Football League. And with that came a lot of power, too. And sometimes I'm not sure the power was used in the most ingenious fashion. He seemed to be averse to marketing and things like that the CFL desperately needs. But the bottom line is there may not be a Canadian – the Canadian football landscape that we've experienced this year may have been the Canadian football landscape for a decade or two if it wasn't for David Braley. So let's hand it to him. He's one of the absolute giants in the history of the Canadian Football League. And my goodness, what's going to happen in BC now?
There's a lot of talk in football about the quality of CFL play when we come back. And it's both from the football guys, and I've had fans ask me too. Has it crossed your mind what this league's going to look like when it comes back?
I wonder what about the player compensation and the remuneration. I always maintain, and that might be proven wrong, that the game and the rules will allow the league to put a good product on the field, an excellent product on the field. If you're not paying the players as much, if there's certain players you can't get anymore, et cetera, that's a shame. But look at some of the amazing Vanier Cups that there have been. Some of the best football games I've ever been to have been Regina Intercollegiate Football League games. The 93 league final between Riffle and Tom, I'm not sure there's ever been a better football game that's been played. And that's because I think the rules lend themselves to a game that's enjoyable. And I'm not minimizing to a ridiculous degree the importance of good players, but I think the design of the game stands it in good stead. I wonder what payrolls are going to look like. I wonder what front offices are going to look like, et cetera. But I think the game is still going to be worth watching. Can it be improved? Sure. I think the league, maybe this is my soapbox with regards to hockey as well. I think the league can focus a little bit more on bells, whistles, and entertainment. You look at U.S. college football and some of the shootouts you're seeing there. You look at the National Football League and some of the shootouts you're seeing there. You don't see them quite as often in the Canadian Football League. And I think the league can do a little bit more rules-wise or what have you to just jack up the entertainment quotient even more, because they're going to really have to come back with a bang and really have to be noticed and have those, especially with attention spans being much shorter than this answer. I think they're going to need to do things you can put on Twitter and say, look at this play, look at this play, look at this play. And well, that's how you're going to get people back and attract a younger audience as well.
Yeah, marketing the stars. And if you follow Cody Fajardo on Twitter, which you do, he put out a 2-minute highlight video. Did you see that on Friday? That, A, made my heart race, brought tears to my eyes, and I thought, Cody, there will always be a place for a Cody Fajardo in the Canadian Football League. Just look at him, man. And that kind of what hurts me why there isn't football this year, because the Riders were on the brink of a bust out with Cody Fajardo. Could be the most popular Rough Rider ever. Lynch thinks he could be, Rob. He thinks he could be. John of Edmonton says, soon we will be able to actually call the National Football League national because it will be expanding to Canada. That's from John in Edmonton. Dean says, hey, Rob, I love your breakdown of the Rider photo from 1977. I was probably at the game, and it was cool to hear some of the lesser-known players. Yeah. So there's that. And anonymous writer, maybe Alabama could play against some men because their games are getting a little ridiculous with the blowouts. Well, the Alabama-Ole Miss game a couple weeks ago, Thanksgiving weekend, was as good as you're going to see. And how many of these guys did we really know? So that's a good point. It's about the game for sure. But RV to the National Football League, a real cliffhanger for your Denver Broncos on Sunday. It was an interesting Sunday, week 8.
It really was. I mean, the Denver Chargers game, I mean, a battle of 2-4 teams. I don't think any of them are really going to be, we're going to be talking about them into January, but I would have bet all $16 in my bank account that the Broncos weren't going to win that game when they had two first downs at halftime and 62 yards. And then Drew Locke throws the interception and just, oh no, what is going to happen here? And one of the best comebacks I've ever seen. And they were down 24-3. They won the game. John Elway, as a rookie, brought the Broncos back from a 19-point deficit in 1983 against Baltimore, which had drafted him appropriately enough. So Gerald Wilhite with the winning touchdown with 44 seconds left. So I started thinking about that. And, you know, Drew Locke is a virtual rookie when you consider the number of games that he has played over 2 years in the National Football League. So I'm not equating Drew Locke with John Elway, but it was a sign that there is something there when in the first quarter or two I was thinking, should I just go for a bike ride?
Mm-hmm. How many consecutive days have you had, by the way, of exercise, Rob?
This is going to be 242. Going for a walk later on today. So,
wow.
Started March 6th.
Oh, I appreciate it. They're telling me that Alan Miller, the general manager of the Moose Jaw Warriors, is connected and ready to go from his office in Moose Jaw, so I won't make him wait any longer. Anything else, RV? Any plugs for Post Media or your Twitter feeds or anything? Any books that you've written that I missed? Anything that we can plug here today?
A virtual book. I'm working on a feature on the military history of Neil J. Piffles Taylor, after whom Taylor Field was named. It's going to appear in Saturday's paper. It's 2,200 words of his World War I experiences, his diaries. There's a some really cool stuff that his family shared with me, and that's going to be in Saturday's paper. And then leading up to November, Remembrance Day, I'm going to have a piece on the Regina Rugby Club at the Regina Rough Riders and their the backgrounds of their players and their involvement in both World Wars. With a lot
this
of
is very
nice
important, by the way.
Richter.
One of our viewers says Rob Vanstone is a walking history book. And you are. And, you know, one of the things I'm talking with the football guys is they're saying the new owners in the CFL don't care about the history. The new people in hockey don't care about the history of the game and of the leagues. And it's very important. So I take it upon myself to do that. And you take it four, five, six, seven steps further. So, RV, thanks for what you do. People are noticing. Thanks for the time, sir. And let's do it again more regularly.
Look forward to it, Rod. Thanks, Rod. Thanks, Darren. To everybody, stay well.
Saskatchewan's biggest Denver Broncos fan, Rob Vanstone. As mentioned, when we come back, the general manager of the Moose Jaw Warriors, Alan Miller. Get your questions ready for him. It's not very often we get the GM of a major junior hockey team on.
And Team Canada.
Yes! Or as he will tell you, representative of the senior management group of the under 20 team.
Who's kidding who? He's in charge.
Yes. Of the Canada's World Junior team. That's next. Alan Miller. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the RP Show on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Brand new week. We're excited about our next guest, so let's bring him in now. The general manager of the Moose Jaw Warriors, and as Darren said, you could say the GM as well of Canada's World Junior Team, Alan Miller, joining us from his desk in Moose Jaw. G'day, Alan. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How's everybody there?
We're doing very well. We got a lot of questions for you. The viewers do, too. Nothing you can't handle. But I guess we'll start with, well, you're an Ontario guy originally, so your take on the OHL's will there be body checking? Will there not be body checking? And will that transfer over to the WHL in your mind? Obviously, you're following it closely. What's your take?
Well, I liked what Rob Ford said on the weekend, that they're continuing dialogue and they want to, you know, he wants the OHL to return with body contact. So I think there's been some, you know, comments made, some statements made, maybe a little bit too early in the process. And I think the OHL will work diligently and, you know, to best return at, with contact. And, we haven't had that conversation. I sit on our competitions committee in our league. That's not something that's come up within our league or within health, authorities or the governments we've been dealing with. So, hopefully by the time we get to the new year, we're hopefully playing and as normal as can be.
Darren had a really good point before we went to air, and maybe you should say it. I mean, I'm looking at the 150 cap and the SJHL, wondering how that translates to the WHL. And you said, Darren, it's got nothing to do with the WHL, right? Do you want to mention that?
Well, yeah, maybe. And Al, maybe you can help me out here. I thought when it came out that there was the exception in there for junior hockey to have 50%, but you got to meet all the different criteria. Am I right on that? And where would you be at in terms of meeting those criteria to be able to have more fans?
Well, before I go there, Darren, I just got a comment. That's quite the COVID do you got going.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
And I'm jealous. I think there seems to be a little bit of confusion between the SJ returning at 150 and what we're working towards in January, which is 50% capacity, up to 50% capacity with social distancing. So a couple things. First of all, the SJ is starting this week. We're not starting till January. You know, I've read some comments from their president, Bill Chow, and I know that they're starting at 150 and in their discussions hope to escalate to 50% capacity somewhere along the way. But our discussions led by Ron Robinson and, you know, directly with the premier's office, the health authorities, we've been working towards 50% capacity with social distancing. We've gone through the protocols. We filed information with the health authorities. All the teams in Saskatchewan have put together seating plans, and we're moving forward with a January 8 start. Again, with 50% capacity, with social distancing, and as you guys can realize, 50% capacity and 50% capacity with social distancing are two different things. But that's what all our teams are working with, the best way to get as many fans as the building as we can in the right environment with health and safety in mind and the support of our government and health authorities. And thus far, they've been very supportive and great to work with our teams and our league office.
Well, you know, Al, it's probably a little annoying to deal with the questions from the fans and the people like us. However, the good thing is people care. Have you noticed people really care? If they weren't asking, that would be a far bigger deal.
I think people do care. I think we're always in an industry and, you know, sports front and center. You make trades, you hire coaches, you fire coaches, you make different decisions. Not everybody's going to agree, and you're always going to take some shots, and being in the business as long as I have been, you got to have thick skin. But I can certainly say from our staff's involvement here in Moose Jaw and working through this pandemic, what this season looks like, understanding the challenges financially, understanding the capacity of the building. Our fans want to see us make it work. Our corporate sponsors want to see us make it work. And they've been very supportive. The feedback we've got has been extremely supportive on helping us grind out a difficult year. And we're very appreciative of that.
So sports does matter. Good. I'm glad to see somebody say it. And Alan, I've been around a long time too, but I've never worked with a guy that was the GM, if you will, of the World Junior team. Few coaches, never the guy in your role as the rep of the management committee, as you explained it to me in your office. So, speaking of people caring, woo, people talking about the World Juniors this year and Kirby Doc coming back now, which is, I don't think we thought Kirby Doc was going to come back, right?
No.
And there's still a chance of Lafreniere. How much is that taking up of your time right now, the tournament in Edmonton after Christmas?
It's been a lot, I think. It was great to have the World Junior, you know, work, you know, with everything we had going on in the WHL. So I guess the timing in terms of a workload helped out in some ways, but I think you guys can imagine that it's challenging enough to put this team together, never mind that two leagues in the CHL aren't playing games and neither is the NCAA at this point. So we really had to look at this differently, and this is going back to March and April when we started with our group, when we started with our coaching staff and our management group. So lots of video scouting. I think I said to Rod when we were in the office, I got a much more great appreciation for all the coaches with all the video they watch, because I'm sick and tired of it. I like being in the corner of a rink watching a game and seeing the whole ice surface. But we had a long process that started with 80 or 90 players, lots of video scouting, lots of player conference calls, which really ended about a week before we named our camp roster. And our management group has, you know, had lots of calls in terms of, you know, what our camp looks like, COVID protocols. Yesterday morning, we had a call with the players and their parents to go over all the COVID protocols and make sure that the parents were all comfortable with the environment that their sons were coming to. Tomorrow, we're doing a similar call with the CHL GMs and the NCAA head coaches to make sure they know what our plans are. So it's certainly keeping us busy, and it's been unique. And I think you guys can understand one hell of a challenge.
I can only imagine the challenge it is, Al. But so Kirby Doc comes back, and I think, you know, a lot of people, when we do a lot of reading and we, you know, hear the pundits and stuff talking about, well, do the NHL teams want those players in camp, or do they want them at the World Juniors? Where are those conversations at with other guys, Lafreniere and other NHL players? And do you anticipate any more being released?
Well, when we looked at our original camp roster of 46, we had good support from the NHL, and Hockey Canada updated all the NHL general managers on what our camp roster looked like and what our camp looked like. Obviously, the NHL return to play is going to be impactful in some ways. You know, I think with Doc, I give Kirby a lot of credit. Kirby really initiated this through his agent and through the Blackhawks. And if he could be, he wanted to be part of the World Junior team. And I think that that was great. And we obviously got that support from Stan Bowman and the Blackhawks, you know, the morning of our press conference. And so similar with Lafreniere, you know, there's been discussions with the Rangers. And again, those players are considered NHL players at this time. But it all depends on when the NHL is going to get up and going. And, you know, Chicago is committed that, you know, it's contingent on the NHL returning. If they don't return till after the World Juniors, then Doc's going to be on the team. And the Rangers are going to certainly consider the same with Lafreniere. So, sure, I think there are, you know, Byram, Cousins, Byfield, those types of guys. But those are things that we'll continue to communicate with their NHL teams and work through, depending on the NHL's return to play. But I think the consensus right now in any discussions we have, and I think anything that you guys are reading, that, you know, the NHL is probably looking at something, you know, mid to late January or early into February. So for the most part, I think it looks like we could be in pretty good shape. And we're not the only country or federation that could benefit in this process. You know, the U.S., does New Jersey send Jack Hughes, Trevor Zegras from Anaheim, Kaapo Kakko from the Rangers could play for Finland. Like, we could be talking North Dakota in 2005 again and have all the best junior age players in the world at this tournament. So it could be unbelievable.
It's, yeah, I'm getting even more excited. Oh, yeah. From producer Clark, ask Alan to include, how excited was Alan to include Damon Hunt in the World Junior Selection Camp? And overall, how does he feel about the group? Well, I guess we got the second answer to that, but Damon Hunt's going to be there. That's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Damon's a very good young player, as you guys know. You know, he's got some good international experience. He played as an underage at the World Under 18 Championships. He was a key player for us later that summer at the Hlinka-Gretzky. You know, had a horrific injury last year with a cut on his wrist and was obviously a setback. But certainly put himself in a position to be one of 15 defensemen invited to the camp. And I'm excited to see Damon and the group as a whole. I think it's going to be real interesting. The Ontario and WHL guys haven't played in meaningful games since March. I know they've all been working hard, but you know, to see what kind of step these guys have taken, how much stronger, how much faster they've gotten. We've got a real excited, motivated group, you can imagine, with them chomping the bit to get at it. So I think we're going to have a real excited group. And, you know, the 47 players, it's deep. As you guys probably know, there's 26 NHL first rounders in on this camp roster. And, you know, if you put a Doc in the mix and maybe a Lafreniere as well, there's going to be some tough decisions to make as we go through our camp.
A quick one from viewer in Saskatoon. Pat, have you had a chance to talk to Braden Point yet after winning the Stanley Cup?
No, I haven't. I haven't talked to Braden. There's been lots of dialogue and texts and that with Braden and through our organization. It was unbelievable to watch. I look forward to connecting with Braden somewhere down the road here. Obviously, gave him some time to, you know, those guys were having some fun on those boats and that parade on the at the marina there in Tampa. It looked like a lot of fun. I wish I was there. But so proud of Braden. And as you guys may know, real special for me to watch Braden. And I also had Steven Stamkos in the Ontario Hockey League. And to see those guys raise the cup on the same team. It was a little emotional, I can tell you that.
I bet, for sure. Alan, we really appreciate the time, especially as busy guys you are. Good luck with everything, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Anytime, guys. Great to catch up. Take care.
Appreciate it. Alan Miller, the general manager of the Moose Jaw Warriors and Team Canada's World Junior team, and he went easy on you.
Oh, yeah. No, we buried the hatchet with Moose Jaw.
Now that Hunter's gone.
We cleared things. We cleared the air with Tim. Him and I are good. He likes my social media posts now. So we're good.
Tim Hunter is amazing on social media, by the
way. Trust me. My anxiety is gone.
Yeah.
Empty.
Tim Hunter, I don't know why. Sometimes I wonder, only because I've lived here my whole life, why people love it so much. Because Tim Hunter left the Warriors, but never left Saskatchewan. Like, I was over in Moose Jaw last week. And I was at the rink, and I said, where's Hunter now, guys? Like, he comes on my show from the cabin, and they said, Buffalo Pound! I'm like, what? He's still there? So he took a picture of a flock of geese flying overhead. Did you see that tweet?
No.
And he goes, a Saskatchewan traffic jam. Hilarious! I think they like the space, these guys.
Yeah. He's been doing rentals. I've seen that. Yeah. Doing kind of DIY projects. And
a Saskatchewan traffic jam. The hockey people will get it. The poll question today, speaking of Tim Hunter. Who should coach the NHL Seattle Kraken? And again, the reason we brought it up was because The Athletic did an article on it on Sunday. And the onus of that, or the impetus of that, or the crux of that article was GM Ron Francis saying we don't have to hire anybody anytime soon because they're not even playing for 2 years or one more year until they do. The first guy that came to mind for me was Gerard Gallant. I couldn't think of anybody else. Clark brought up the next two, Mike Babcock and Tim Hunter, and I literally can't think of anybody else. You said what hotshot young junior guys are out there?
Mine's drawing a blank. I know, you look at the Hockey Canada route and stuff. So Mitch Love, a guy in Saskatoon who's done really well, you brought him up, and that's why he became top of mind. I think he's somebody who will make that next jump. You thought maybe Manny Malholtra when he went, or not Manny Mal, well, Manny Malholtra's name came up.
Manny Viveros
when he went to Edmonton.
Yeah.
But now he's back in the league, so if he has some success.
In the American League, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Maybe I should have put him in. I don't know.
Right.
Anyways, what's leading? Mike Babcock's leading, and he might be good for Seattle. I don't know. I would love to be a fly on the wall of that job interview between Ron Wilson and Mike Babcock.
Oh, for sure.
So anyways, we'll keep that. Gerard Glantz leading on Twitter. Again, sign your names, folks, if you don't mind. Viewer says, Tim was golfing at Deer Valley last month. I believe it. We were talking about Deer Valley yesterday. Get some new grips for my wife's golf clubs out of Deer Valley. Yeah. From Carlos in Indianapolis, he says, hello, everyone. Expecting hour one in a few minutes. That's what we're going to do. We're going live to Game Plus Television for hour two of the program. So everybody that hung around and waited until 11 in Saskatchewan, it's coming up with Justin Dunk and all these points. So anyways, what do I say? See ya. Let's make some noise.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.